Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Hello, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf. Bava Matzia Daf Mem Aleph. We are on Mem Amud Beis at the Mishnah, which is 8 lines off the bottom of the Amud. Hamafkid Chavetz Eitzel Chaveroi. If Reuven brought his barrel and left it with his friend Shimon to watch, V'lo yichdu lo ha'balim mokim. The owner did not specify, did not designate, okay, put it in that corner. He just gave it to him plain. V'tiltalo. And the Shomer picked it up, moved it around, v'nishtabra, and then, you know, it dropped, something happened, and it broke. It broke by accident. It was considered an oynes, okay, not really through negligence, rather something, you know, beyond his control. Question. Does the shomer pay for that? It depends. Im mitoich yodei nishbara, if it broke while holding it. So then further, it depends. Litzorchai, if the reason, what was the reason for him picking up the item? If it was for his own personal use, the shomer's personal use, which is basically an abuse of his power, right? Chayev, then he's chayev for even an oynes. We know that if a person steals something, a person's a ishomer, he's shaleach yad. Right, he misuses the item for his own purpose. So then he is chayev even for accidents. He's fully responsible for the item. So in this case, if it was letzor chay, he diverted the item for personal use, chayev. But letzor chay potter, the reason for him moving the item was for the sake of for the interest of the item itself, to protect the item or whatever, then he's potter. This is all if it happened while holding the item. But if this breakage occurred after the shomer had already replaced the item, put it back, so then it doesn't matter what his intentions were. Whether the purpose of him taking the item was for his own personal use or for the benefit of the item itself, he's potter. Okay, so that's the first part of the Mishnah, which speaks about an item which was not given a specific place, in which case if the shomer picked it up and moved it and then dropped it, the halacha is if it was mitoich yadai while still holding it, then if it was for his personal use, then he's chayev. Otherwise he's potter. Once he replaced the item, put it back in its place, in that case he's potter, irrespective of his initial intentions. But yichdu lo ha'bala makam. Here comes phase two of the Mishnah, the seifa of the Mishnah. Suppose the owner of that barrel, of that wine barrel, had designated, had requested a certain spot, put it in that corner, and then the shomer picked it up and moved it around. V'tiltalo v'nishbara, cracked. Whether it happened while he was holding it or even after he put it back in its place, it doesn't matter. Because he realized once he took it out of that place, it became like a goslin. So there's no such thing as putting it back. It's still considered stolen. So there, it simply depends on his motive. What was the purpose? Let's say if he was using it for his own purposes, chayev, then he's chayev. Let's say potter, but if it was for the sake of the item itself, protected or whatever, then he's potter. Okay, so in phase two of the Mishnah, which we call the Seifa, the owner had requested a certain spot, had designated a makayim, and then something happened. The shomer moved it around, it broke, got damaged. So if it was being moved around for the shomer's sake, then he's chayiv, otherwise he's potter. Okay, says the Gemara, let's go back to the first part of the Mishnah. That discusses a chavis, which had no specific, you know, makim. There we say, if the shomer picked it up, even if he used it for his own sake, but if he put it back, he put it down, then he's potter, apparently. That is considered having returned the item to the owner's, you know, domain, so to speak. He gave it back, even though he didn't really notify the owner that he returned the stolen item. Hamani Rabbi Shmuel, this must be Rishmal speaking. Dama who tells us, Loibin and Daz Balim. a ganav, etc., who steals something, he doesn't have to inform the owner when he gives it back. He can be yoytze the mitzvah of hashavas gezela by simply placing it back in his possession. The sanyas, we have a price, a hagoinif tolim in a eder, a person steals a lamb from the herd, viselim in a kiss, or a coin from the pouch, lemokim shagonav yachzir. Just put it right back. Without informing him. Divrei Bishmor. V'kivayimer tzorach da'as balim, it doesn't constitute full hashava, unless he tells them. Our Mishnah apparently reflects Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. As soon as the shemer puts the item down, it constitutes hashava without even informing the owner. Well, Rabbi Shmuel, if it's Rabbi Shmuel speaking, my area lo yichdu. So why speak about specifically where the owner did not designate a location? Afilu yichdu nami. Even if the owner had initially designated, okay, I want my barrel in that corner, the same halacha would apply. The shemer takes it, uses it, but he puts it right back. He's done. You're right. Lo miweiko amar. The Mishnah doesn't need it doesn't need to express that. Meaning, it goes without saying. Lo miboya yichtu. It goes without saying that if the item had been designated to a specific corner, in which case that corner becomes the mokem of the item. In which case, certainly when the shamer returns it to that spot, of course it's called a perfect return, a perfect chazora, because he put it back where it belongs. So that goes without saying that it works. El afilu, but the chiddush is even in the ratio where lo yichtu, there was no designation. There was no set place. So when the shemir just puts it back on the floor, this you can't really say he put it back in its place. Still, lo yibeinu da'as balim, it is considered a fulfillment of hashava. It is considered having returned to the owner, because you don't need to inform the owner. Okay, so the ratio of the Mishnah reflects Shitas Rabbi Shmuel, loy be'inan da'aspa. So that's why, once he puts it back, he's potter. Eimo seifa. Okay, let's proceed to the next part of the Mishnah, the seifa. Yichtu lo habalim mokim. If initially the owner had requested a certain spot for his item, and then the shemir picked it up and it broke, whether it's still in his hands or he put it back, it depends why he picked it up. If it was for his own purposes, he's chayev, otherwise he's potter. What does this tell us? That even though he already put it back, and even if it had a specific mokim where was replaced to, he's still going to be chayev if the initial purpose of picking up the item was for his own use. That appears to be reflective of Rabbi Kiva's opinion. In order to be considered a full hashava, you need to inform the owner. In this case, he didn't inform the owner of the item. And that's why it's not called hashava, and that's why he's still responsible if he took it for gezela purposes. Now, Rabbi Kiva, if in fact the Seifa reflects Rabbi Akiva, my Iri Yichta, why does this halacha pertain specifically to where the owner had specified a location for the chavis? Afilu l'yichtu nami. You know what? It applies even if the owner had not specified a mokim for the chavis. The fact is, once you steal it, you have to do a proper hashava by informing the owner. Lo mibayikama, again, a similar teretz as before, it goes without saying. We're going to use the same factors. Lo mibayik lo yichtu. It goes without saying that there's no mokim, there's no specified location for the item. The lav mukaimahu, in which case we certainly understand that when the shemir just puts it back, you know, it's not considered its place. So it goes without saying that according to Rabbi Kiva, that would not be considered a hashava to the owner. El afilu yichtu nami, the mukaimahu. The chiddush is even if it had a specific location, had a designated spot. Boinidas, bailim, still and all, the shemer can only fulfill mitzvah hashava when he informs the owner. In this case, he didn't, and therefore he's still responsible. So bottom line, Reisha, the first part of the Mishnah, which indicates that you can do hashava without informing the owner, Rabbi Shmuel, and the Seifa, which indicates otherwise it's a Rekiva, which is a bit, you know, unusual to have one Mishnah reflecting two opposing opinions in, yeah, we have to say that. In fact, Rabbi Yechon told us, man de metargim lichavis. Whoever amongst you has the ability to explain to me the Mishnah discussing the barrel, meaning our Mishnah, Ali b'lechatana, in line with one opinion, can somehow reconcile both parts of the Mishnah with one opinion, I'm really going to be impressed, and I'll consider him to be my teacher. Mevilna Mane, I'll carry his clothing. Basre, behind him, Beit Masusa, to the bathhouse, I'll serve him as a student to a Rebbe. Bottom line, it's impossible to learn the Mishnah that way. And we're compelled to sort of splice the Mishnah in two directions. So that's this approach. But now we're going to have a different approach in the Gemara, which will actually reconcile the entire Mishnah to be reflective of the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel, that loy ba'inan da'as ba'al. Tirgum Rav Yaakov bar Abba kamei de Rav. Shabbat Rav Yaakov explained the Mishnah in front of Rav. Shanot ma'amanas l'goizla. First of all, we have to know that when the Shomer took the item, was speaking that he took it with the intention to steal the entire item. How does that help us? So we'll see in a minute. The Gemara later will tell us that actually what happened was, I'm trying to explain the Sefer, right? Why in the second part of the Mishnah do we say that he's fully responsible even though he replaced it? The answer is because he didn't put it back in the right spot. We'll get to that in a minute. But before we get to that, the Gemara will tell us a couple of different options, elaborate on them, and then conclude in a way that fully explains the Mishnah. Okay? So first of all, we have this opinion, which is Shenot Lamnas Degoizla. He took the item with the intention of stealing it, completely stealing it. Tirgum Rav Nassim bar Abba kamei de Rav. So another Amora explained the Mishnah in front of Rav with a little bit of a different twist. Shenot Lamnas L'Shloach Bayyad. He didn't necessarily plan on stealing the whole thing. He was just going to do sort of a minor stealing. L'Shloach Bayyad. Take part of the wine or whatever, right? But that also considers him a Goslin. It makes him fully responsible, even for an oinus, as per what happened in the Mishnah. Now, we still haven't fully explained the Mishnah, but before we get to that, let's try to explain why they have different, you know, ways of explaining the Mishnah. But my commitment, what's the machlekes about? Why does he say it was amanas legoizlo, and he says l'shleich bayad, b'shlichos yad sricha chisorin? The question is, when the Torah holds the shomer fully accountable, if he was shleich bayad, if he reached out and diverted the item, misused the item, that shlichos yad requires chisorin. Does he actually have to, you know, take away from the item, or just using it without chisorin, without actually diminishing from the item itself, is enough to consider him a shleich yad? That's the machlokes. Manda Amar Legoizel, the first opinion, which said that a Mishnah speaking that he planned on stealing the entire thing, kasavar, he holds, because otherwise he wouldn't be responsible. Shlichos yad, tzuchei chisaron. Even if he picked it up, but as long as he hadn't yet taken from it, he's not officially a shleich yad. So, and the Mishnah must be that he was more than a shleich yad. He planned on taking the whole thing. Oh, now he's a true Goslin. Umad amar shleich bayad. Whereas the second opinion learned that the Mishnah was speaking about a shleich bayad because he holds kasavar shlichos yad ain't a tzuchei chisaron. Even without actually diminishing from the item, he already called the Shaleach Bayad. So therefore, we can fully interpret the Mishnah in this direction that he was Shaleach Bayad. He took it to be, you know, just to benefit somewhat from it, partially, not to take the whole thing. And even though he hadn't yet done that, he's called the Shaleach Bayad. Now, Maskevel Rav Sheshes had a kash on these two explanations. Mida Netlok Tani. Where does the Mishnah say that he took it? He wasn't trying to keep it. He wasn't trying to take it to himself. Tiltalaktani. He just moved it. Elon of Sheshes. Rather, says of Sheshes, Hachav my skin was speaking because Tiltalavila Gozalis. He moved the barrel just to use it as sort of like a step stool on which he can climb to reach out to the, reach for the birds. Because Sover, the Mishnah holds, Shayel Shalei Midas, when a person borrows something without permission, Gazlan Habi has the status of a Gazlan. Okay, so bottom line is we have 1, 2, 3 ways to explain why he's like a Goslin, why he's fully responsible. Either he took it to steal, or he shaleach bayad, or he borrowed it. Bottom line is, he's fully responsible. Right? V'kula Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, now let's move on. The whole mission is Rabbi Shmuel. But Rabbi Shmuel holds that once the Ganav replaces it, once he puts it back, his Ganav status terminates. It's over. No. You know why here it's different? V'seifa she'nicha v'makam she'enayit mekayimah. The Sefer was speaking that the owner had designated a spot. Yichdolo Mokim. Now the Ganav took it for whatever reason, one of these three reasons, and he failed to return it to its proper place. So now he's still a Goslin. That answers the Mishnah. Okay? But Rabbi Yeh, who had a different approach to the Mishnah, who could not figure out a way how to reconcile this Mishnah with Rabbi Shmuel, why is he still responsible if he put it back? Because he says, Hinicha b'mkayim mashma. The Mishnah says, Hinicha. It sounds like he put it right back in its place. No, so if he put it back in its place, he's no longer Ganav, so why is he Chayiv? So the only way to explain the Mishnah is like a Rekiva, because he didn't inform the owner. So bottom line is, we have a Mishnah with two parts. In part one, the Mishnah tells us that once he puts it back, he's Potter. In part B, the Mishnah says he's Chayiv. Why? One is Rabbi Shmuel, one is Rabbi Akiva. Or according to the second approach, it's all Rabbi Shmuel speaking, but he put it in the wrong place, so he never actually restored it to the owner. Okay, on the topic of Shelech Bayad, and the Machlekes whether Chisaron is required as a precondition to make you a Shelech Bayad, itma, we have Machlekes. A Machlekes between Rav and Levi. Chadama, one holds, Shlichus Yad Tzricha Chisaron, unless he actually takes from the item. The Shomer is not called a Shelech Bayad. Vechad Omar, Shlichus Yad Eina Tzricha Chisaron, it's not needed to make him a Shelech Yad, just using it is enough. This time will prove the Rav, he's the one that says, Huda Omar, Shlichus Yad Eina Tzricha Chisaron, the sign. Roya Shaya Roya Ed Reva Brisa, a shepherd in charge of the flock, was grazing his flock, and he abandoned his herd, and he comes to town. Rashi explains, based on the Gemara later, it was lunchtime, it was acceptable for him to leave his flock, or he heard the sounds of the attacking animals, and he took off. Okay, he enters the city, and lo and behold, a wolf comes and devours one of his animals, or a lion does the same, he's exempt. Okay, it's pot. But in Niach Makli, Vatarmil Leho, but let's say, before leaving the herd, he had used one of the animals, misused one of the animals for his own personal use. He put his stick, he put his pouch, his backpack on one of the animals, Chayev. Then he's responsible because he becomes like a goslin. He's Chayev even for accidents. Vavinbo, we got a kash on that. Mishim de Niach Makli, Vatarmil Leho Chayev, just because he put his thing down for a second, he's Chayev. Hashaklinu. He already removed this thing from there. So bottom line is, it's already sort of restored back to the owner. Right? We're going like a Rishmol, right? You don't have to inform the owner that you returned. It's returned. And the answer is like this. Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Ravu, Amar Rabba Oidin Aleha. No, we're speaking that his item is still sitting on the animal when the accident occurred. So it's in the midst of the use. It's in the middle of being Shalech Bayad, of course. It's in his care and it's under his responsibility. Asks the Gemara, hold it. You're considering him a Shalech Yad? Let's say his item is still sitting on the animal. He never did a Kinyan. Rashi explains, you know, in order to be fully responsible for an item, whether it's because you're a Gazlan, whether because you're a Shalech Yad, whether, right? You have to make a Kinyan to acquire it. And that puts it under your care. Here, he just used it. He didn't actually pick it up and use it and take it. He did. Sheikishu b'makal b'ratzel afanav. When he put a stick on it, he like sort of banged it and it ran, and that's like a mashicha because he got it to walk for him. Well, hold it. But he didn't diminish from the animal. There's no chesaron. Why is he shalech bayad? Oh, elulav shmamina, that proves our point. The kasavar that Rav holds, shlichus yad, ain't a tzricha chesaron, even without being mechas, even without diminishing, you call the shalech yad. So they want, no, Ema perhaps, Shekhisha Makal, we'll put a ches into the word of Hikisha. Instead of Hikisha, he just whacked it, he weakened it through his whack. And that's called Chisar, he diminished from the animal. The economy, the Tani Shekhisha Makal, Shmamino. In fact, this is proven from the fact that the Gemara used an example of Hikisha Makal. Why do you have to mention about a Makal? Why can't you just put something else on the animal? Sorry, why is it right? Why is it Hikisha b'makil? He clubbed it with a club. Let it say, just, you know, he put down something and he hit it. Oh, makil, specifically, because that can actually affect the animal, injure it, and weaken it. And that's why it's called a shalech yad shmamina. So, in fact, we sort of turned it around. Instead of proving that Rav holds, you don't need chesaron, actually, you do need chesaron. Oh, when the Rav savar slichus yad tzricha chesaron. And once we've proven that Rav holds you need chesaron, so Levi, who is his opponent, so to speak, savar slichus yad ain't tzricha chesaron. He holds you don't need chesaron to be considered shleach yad. My time in Levi, why? Where's he coming from? What's his source? We find that the Torah mentions this concept of a sheleach yad, a shomer who misuses an item, we find it several times in the Torah. We have it by shomer chinam, a fellow who's watching it free of charge. We have it by the shomer sachar. And the question is, why the repetition? Once it says it by shomer chinam, then we know that shomer sachar has the same responsibilities. It's unusual. Shlichus Yad, the mentioning of Shlichus Yad, Hamura b'Shem Esachah, but Shem Esachah, which seems to be unnecessary. Mishlichus Yad, Hamura b'Shem Echinim, rather than the Shem Echinim Shlichus Yad, which is necessary. Basically, it's a more saying way of saying that it's an extra mentioning of Shlichus Yad. So that's Rabbi Yechanan quoting Rabbi Yosi ben Arai. So basically, what he's saying is, since the Shlichus Yad by the Shomer Sachar is extra, oh, apparently there's a message laden in that pasuk to tell you that, guess what? Even a limited Shlichus Yad, a limited use, even without the chesaron, in fact, he didn't actually, you know, diminish it or injure it, he's still chayiv. And Taisus explains that now it sort of reveals to us the definition of Shlichus Yad, whether Yishem Echinim or Yishem Sachar, it's all the same thing. You call the Shlichus Yad even without the chesaron factor. So that's a quote from Rabbi Yosi. Vani Oimer, Rabbi Yechon himself, he says, my opinion is, Eino Mishuna, no, we don't deem it to be unusual. Basically, just like by the Shomer Chinam, you need a regular Shlichus Yad, Shomer Sachar needs a regular Shlichus Yad, nothing's extra, and you need Chisoren for it to be a Shlichus Yad. And the word explains again, Umay Mishuna, what do you mean to say, this is unusual, this is extra? It means like this, it's an unnecessary mentioning. But the Shomer Sachar, because it can be learned from the Shomer Chinam. Lo yishtayma Shlichus Yad b'Shomer Sachar. Why mention that the Shomer Sachar is liable for being Shleich Yad? But taste him Shomer Chinam, just learn from Shomer Chinam. Uma Shomer Chinam, Shapata B'nei Vaveda. If even a Shomer Chinam, who has overall less responsibilities, if his item gets lost or stolen, he's not Chayiv. But still, Shalach B'Yad, if he does that, he's Chayiv. Shomer Sachar Shachayiv, B'nei Vaveda, certainly Shomer Sachar is more responsible, even for lost or stolen. L'Kosh can certainly, if he's Shleich Yad, he's Chayiv. So then, why does the Torah have to repeat it again? By the Shomer Sachar, it's obvious. To tell you, to redefine the Shaleach Yad concept. To tell you, Shlichus Yad, Eino Tzrich Chesaron. That's his opinion. But myself, Rabbi Yechon holds, Eino Mish Mishuna. No, we don't deem it to be a pasuk to redefine anything. Why? Because he's going to Rabbi Lezer. The Omar who says, Dovado Achasi. The definition of the Shaleach Yad by the Shomer Sachar is just like by the Shomer Chinam. Don't derive any new definitions. Why? Because they're both necessary. They're both needed. My David Achasi, what does he mean by that? Mishumdikel Mifrach. Because we can refute your rationale, your formula. You say that Shomer Sachar is extra because it can be learned from Shomer Chinam, who has less responsibilities, and he's certainly chayev. Certainly Shomer Sachar is more. Oh, who says? You're putting Shomer Chinam down below. Put him up on a pedestal. My Shomer Chinam, maybe Shomer Chinam is superior to Shomer Sachar. And that's why he's chayiv for Shaleach Yad. You know why? He has an advantage over Shomer Sachar. You know what that is? Remember in Bava Kamma, we had Toyin Tanas Ganav, right? Shekein Mishal Toshlem Ekefel. But Toyin Tanas Ganav, suppose a Shomer Chinam claims to have lost his item to a robber. He claims that there was a Ganav. And he swore as such. It turns out he took the item, he pays double like he himself is a Ganav. That's unique to a Shomer Chinam. So maybe that's why. He also has the Shleich Yad responsibilities. But Hashem Mesachar never gets to that point. You know why? He'll never get to pay kefil. Because even if he claims that it was stolen, he just pays right away. Hashem Mesachar is chayef gneva. So he never gets to that point of denying and swearing and then turning out to be the culprit. Well, it says the Gemara Mandalei Parich, the other opinion, the previous opinion, did not use this as a refutation. The other one held that it is a good formula. Basically, if Hashem Mechinam is chayiv in Shaleach Yad, despite his deficiencies, certainly Hashem Mesachar was more responsible, more culpable, because he holds Savar Karnabli Shvur. The fact that Hashem Mesachar will pay the principal, the actual value, without even having resorted to a Shvur, as soon as he claims that it was stolen, he pays. So it's an outright responsibility. That responsibility is superior. Adifa, Mikfele B'Shvur, is in a way higher up, more severe than the double payment that Hashem Mechinim can come to pay if, in fact, he goes through the whole process of denying and swearing which is like a complicated process. So the chiyuv moishem esachar are more straightforward. So ultimately, he's more responsible. He carries more achrayis. So it makes sense, certainly, that he'll be chayiv v'shleach yad if Hashem Achinim is chayiv as well. So therefore, it's extra, and apparently, it's coming to redefine the concept and tell you that Hashem shleach yad is considered shleach yad even without chisaron. That's one opinion. Rava Amar, another way to come to the same conclusion, that shleach yad does not need chisaron. He's explaining the this line over here, Meshuna shlichus yad, in a different way. We have an extra shlichus yad in the Torah, and apparently it's coming to tell us to redefine shlichus yad. You don't have to actually diminish the item to be responsible. Even just plain use is already chayiv. Why? Rav Amar Leitoma, what he meant to say is like this: Leitoma shlichus yad loy b'shem mechinam v'loy b'shem asachar. Why does the Torah mention shlichus yad b'shem mechinam or b'shem asachar? We have another source for that: the Tesi Mishael. Just learn it from a regular borrower. A person loans something, right? He's using the item with full permission. That's why he borrowed it, to use it, right? Right? So we consider it like a shleach yad, not in a negative sense. It's fine. It's a sanction. He's using it legally, right? He borrowed it. That's called a shleach yad. At the end of the day, he's actually using it, right? So he's chayiv. He's fully responsible. A shoyl is fully responsible, even for accidents. Right? Despite the fact that he's doing it with a full green light. Certainly the other fellows who are not meant to reach out to the item and use it. Of course, if they're shaleach, they're chayiv. So why does the Torah have to mention shaleach yad by any of these? Shemechinim or shemesachar? Just learn it from the shayil. See, he has a different approach. Before we learned shemesachar, shemechinim. Now we're saying, you know what? Learn both from the shayil. So why does the Torah mention it? Lomanemar? Chado. So why does it mention it by Shem Mechinim and Shem Mesecha? So we're going to have to explain both now. So one mentioning Chad, Eloi Melech, to tell you Shlichus Yad, Einetzricha Chesaron, like we said before, V'idach, and the next mentioning is for as follows. Leitame, we shouldn't even have the notion to say, Dayai Lovei Min Adin, it is sufficient that the concept or the item that's learned, that's derived from a Kal V'Chomer, such as over here, where shlichus yad by the other fellows are learned from the shayil, as we said before, liyas kenidan, let it be limited and applied in the same fashion and carry the same limitations as that concept has in its source, in its original source, in this case, in the shayil context. What does that mean? Shayil, in a way, has a an advantage now. Why? Ma shayil bebalim potter. Because suppose a person borrows an item together with its owner. It's called Ba'al of Ima, which Bezer Hashem we're going to learn later in Perek HaShoyel. Torah says, in that case, you're potter from accidents. So perhaps that concept can be extended to Shemechinim or Shemesachar as well. Suppose while taking the item for safekeeping, the owner of the item came along and was working for the Shemer. So now if the Shemer Shaleach Yad, maybe it's potter, just like by the Shoyel. Using it under these circumstances does not trigger, you know, oinus responsibilities. Let's compare the two. Ma shoyel ba'al mispater, av shemechinim, shemesachar ba'al mispater. That's what I would say. That's why the Torah comes back and says, no. Mention shaleach yad again to tell you that actually shemechinim, shemesachar do not have this exemption. So even if it was the bowl of imoy while they took the item, the fact is later on he misuses the item, he diverts the item, he's chayiv. Asks the Gemara, okay, this all explains the opinion that Shlichus Yad does not eat Chisaron. It's based on the extra Pasuk, etc. But Ulamad Amar Shlichus Yad Tzricha Chisaron. What about the other opinion mentioned before? Shlichus Yad is based on Chisaron. You have to diminish, you have to actually use the Hanitah to Shlichus Yad Lamli. So now we have extra Shlichus Yads in the Torah. Chada one is Shlichus Yad Dayu Lovim and Adin, right? Liz Kenidin. One is to teach us that the concept of Baal of Imoy found by the Shoyal does not apply to the other Shoyimrim, by Shlichus Yad. Vidach, on the other mentioning of Shlichus Yad, which seemed to be extra, is to be applied for another idea. Look at the Sanya. V'nikr of Baal Abayis Elohim. So this is the Shemir Chinam, who's approaching the Elohim as the Bezin. And he's claiming that the item was stolen, right? And we learned before This is the pasuk for Toyin, right? We know before the concept of Toyin Tanaskanov. He claimed the item was stolen, he made a shvua, and then it turns out he stole, he pays kefil. Now, how do we know that a shvua, an oath, is a precondition? Lishvua. We say it's a shvua. Why? Atoyim lishvua. You claim that he came to make a shvua. Yeah, no, it didn't. Maybe the fellow came to litigate at the bezin, but there was no shvua involved. Oh, we have a gzera shava. Nemar shlichos yad lamata. The Torah mentions shlichos yad down below by the shemer sachar. Pasuk says shvua is Hashem. Tiyeh ben shneim, there should be a shvua between them. Im lo yishalach, to prove that he didn't actually use the item, misuse the item. V'namar shlichos yad lamayla, and upstairs, the other parasha, the previous parasha by Shem Achinam, it also mentions shlichos yad. Oh, that's why the Torah has to say shlichos yad twice, to trigger, to enable, facilitate this gzer shavah. That's the answer to our question. Okay, so bottom line is, we connect the two shlichos yad, and we say, look, ma'ala halon the shvua, just like by the Shem Esachar. It says shlichos yad with a shvua, afkan le shvua, likewise over here. By the Shemechina, where it says Shlichus Yad, we use that to connect, to make a Gzeres Shava. And we say, look, just like down there, he's coming to make a Shavuah over here as well. By the Shemechina, the reason why he's approaching the business to make a Shavuah, and that teaches us that the Toyin Tanaskanav is only if he made a Shavuah. He denied, right? He pretended that it was stolen. He made a Shavuah, and he was disproven, and now he pays Kefal. But if he would not have made a Shavuah, then the whole idea of Toyin Tanaskanav with the kefal result will not apply. Okay, bottom line, we had a Mishnah discussing a Shaleach Yad. We had a Reisha, which reflected Rabbi Shmuel's opinion. You don't need to inform the owner of the returning of the item. We had the Sefer, which seems to say the other way around. So one approach is, you're right, one is Rabbi Shmuel, one is Rabbi Kiva. The next approach in the Gemara is, no, they're both Rabbi Shmuel. The thing is that in the Sefer, he failed to put it back in its right place, so he's still considered a Ganav. That took us on to the Sugi of Shaleach Yad, is Chisaron required or not? But a machlekes, and we expounded on these sources as well. All the best to you, and Hatzlacha Rabbah.